We're up to Perek Zayin. We're in the middle of Pasuk Hey. Let's review Pasuk Hey. It's Savarech Kemidl Hashem. We are continuing the description of the praise that Hashem bestows upon Klal Yisrael, or according to Rashi, the praise that the Umoy Sa'ilon bestow upon Klal Yisrael. And Perek Zayin Pasuk Hey, Savarech. Your neck is Kemigdal Hashem, is like an ivory tower. Einayich, your eyes are brechois b'cheshbain, are like pools of water in the city Cheshbain. Cheshbain was an ancient city on the other side of the Yarden. Oig melech habashan, and sichoy melech Cheshbain, oig melech habashan. So this was an ancient city, it was one of the first cities actually that was captured, that became part of Eretz Yisrael, not part of the part that's on the west side, but on the east side of the Yarden. It's like a pools of water in Cheshbon, al Sha'ar Bas Rabin. The pools that were located by the gate, this was a location that was known. Apech Kemigdal Halavanon, your Apech is your face, which we'll see really refers to your forehead. It's beautiful like the Migdal Halavanon. Seifa Pnei Damosek, and when you're standing in this location, you can see the Pnei Damosek. Okay, let's review the Mitzudos. I know we did it last time, but let's review it again because we're in the middle. Let's see over here, Pasuk Hey in the Mitzudos. Savarechim el Hashem, Hatzavah Shaloch Yad Zokov and Meyushov with Tachlis Haloivin. Two things. There are two things about a neck. The beauty of a neck is that it's straight. It stands up erect. And that's going to be important soon in the Targum and the Midrashim. The point is that you stand straight. Next, number two is, we're comparing it to a Migdal of Shein. The focus of Rashi Shein is that it's white. It's a unique, it's a crystal clear white, ivory. Is that really true today? Is ivory, no it's not?
No, well, if you use ivory shade of paint, for example, it's a little off-white.
It's off-white. Okay, so that's interesting. Tachlis over here, that's what Rashi seems to focus, the Tachlis of Loiven. With Tachlis Haloivin, maybe today it's not as pure as it used to be. I don't know if there's any such study, ivory in ancient times. Was ivory in ancient times whiter than it is today? Maybe this depends on the variety of the elephants. What min elephant? But over here, the Mitzvah makes a point. I don't know where this comes from. The Tachlis Haloivin, the whitest possible white. There, we know the Chazal tells us different types of white. There's white. Im yihu chatechem kashani, kashele galbi v'im ketoila. What does the pasuk say? Im yihu chatechem kashani, kashele galbinu. There's snow white and the seven dwarfs, and then there is the white of shell. Like then there's the white of wool. Okay, wool is also white. And there are drushim that the wool of the white of wool in how does the puzzle? Imuchat echem kashani kashala galbinu. The imya dimuka toila katsemer yihyu. So I think there's a drusha that the white of tsemer is not as bright as the white of snow. Because if a person stoops, the sins are so low where the person is actually, it's like the dye itself. If the sins are only something that's been compared to something that's been colored, then it's possible to be cleansed to the degree of a glistening white. But if a person has sinned to the degree where he is so tainted in sin, he actually turns into the dye itself, then through tshuva you'll become white, but not as white as snow. You'll only become as white as tzemer. Here, good morning.
Here, sure.
Oh, okay, different color white.
This is a wool color.
Okay, this is a wool color. So white. Okay, very good. Okay. So they're different color whites. Thank you very much. There are different color whites. Over here, the Mitsudo seems to be revealing to us a very fascinating concept, is that there's even a white that's even greater than snow. And that's the white of Shein, of ivory. As now, Dr. Friedman says, it's no such thing. The shein of ivory today is not, like you said also, it's not necessarily so. The white of ivory appears to be even more colored than more than even snow. Okay, I don't know, but it is a very curious thing, and all the Mefarshim do, they struggle with this concept. Why over here do we focus? What is exactly the mile of Shein, of Kimigdal HaShein?
There is a... valuable.
Oh. So what is the value of Shein? Is it that it's very strong? You have over here different interpretations. What is the value? Mitzudah says that it's white. That's the focus. White over here means you're going to be cleansed from sin. There's a Targum Yonasim and Uzil in Chumash Bereishis. When Yaakov Avinu died, Vayevk Olav Yosef, and Vayipol Al Panav, I don't remember the exact pasuk, but it says that he put Yaakov Avinu on the bed. He cried on the bed, or he cried on the bed, or he put him in the bed. And the Targum Yonas Ben Uzil there in pasuk in the Chum Bereishis says that Yosef put Yaakov Avinu on a mitah shel shein, on a bed of ivory. That was his coffin. He put him in a coffin, a mitah of shein, and from there they took him to Eretz Yisrael, to the Ma'oras HaMachpelah. Does that mean that that Yaakov Avinu is still today in the Ma'oras HaMachpelah, buried upon that mitah shel shein that Yosef Avinu, Yosef HaTzadik, put his father Yaakov Avinu on? Possibly, but that's what it says in the Targum. And there he cites here the Selassi Bamdinus, there the commentators, they struggle, what is the significance of Yosef putting his father upon his death on a mitah shel shein? And there they explain that shein is exotic. It's the most expensive, it's the most beautiful. In ancient times it was valued greater than gold. It's something which has extreme high value, and that if you... What? Okay, it's hard to get, but even though something is hard to get, it's exotic, it's valuable. But that's another interpretation of the chashivus of shein. It's even more valuable than gold. Other commentators say that it's very strong. Is that true?
Yeah, it's true, but they're not mutually exclusive. That, it has several properties.
So
it's a description of palaces of ivory.
Of ivory. So what does it mean in that context?
Ivory palace.
Beautiful, white,
all those
things together. It's rare, it's strong, it's white. So you look over here in the Mefarshim, you get that sense. Everyone over here is struggling. What over here does it mean? Your neck is like a Migdal HaShein. The Mitzudah says it's Kapara. The Beis Hamikdash is the fortress of Klal Yisrael. Kitzavar hazeh shuchoyzek adam, like the neck of a person which represents the strength, the fortitude of man. Shayamoyd al har gavoa tilul, on a mountain that is a tatal, gavoa tulul, that's very high and exalted. V'yihye banui behamivchah shebibinyonim, and it's built with the best building materials. The Migdal HaShein means the finest building materials are used to construct the Beis HaMikdash. Misham yavo, and from there comes nechilas hacheit v'loiven ha'avoin, the whiteness, the tachlis ha'loiven, and through the Beis HaMikdash, that is compared to a tzavar, comes forgiveness for Klal Yisrael. Okay, next, Inayach Yanim. Yeah, that's what it's... Right, exactly. And that's what you had over here. You had that back before. Did we have it before? I'm going to have it again. The Migdal Livonon. Here we're comparing it to a Migdal HaShein. Exactly. Just basically the same exact idea. Einayich, your eyes, Berechos Cheshbain, are pools in Cheshbain. Einayich Tiena Zakus Ubihirus. Your eyes are beautiful. Like Mo Habrichos Shabir Cheshbain, Eitzel Hashar Sheshmoy Bas Rabim. Historical note. Like in the city Cheshbain, on the other side of the Yarden, on the east side of the Yarden, the city that was once the city of Sichon Melech Cheshbain, that was conquered by Klal Yisrael. And in this city, if you'll visit the city, you'll go at the gate. There's a gate called Bas Rabim, and in front of this gate you'll find pools of water, and these pools of water is what we are referring to over here. This refers to the Talmidei Chacham, which are the eyes of the assembly. They will be a source of nourishment for Klal Yisrael. They will pour forth with Torah. Next, now we come to the Apech. What is the Apech according to the Mitzvah David? It means your nose. He will not have a crooked nose. Okay, the stereotype of a crooked nose is for who? For Jews?
Yeah.
Hook nose.
Long hook.
A hook nose. Okay, so there's no hook nose. Maybe this is where it comes from. I don't know where it comes from. This stereotype, Hashem says you're not going to have that. Be yosher nimrots. Perfectly straight, nibli akmimus, no crookedness. Kimigdal ha'oimed biyar halvanin, like the tower that stands. Again, an historical observation, an historical fact. There was a tower that stood in the yar halvanon. Haroya pnei damosek shuhu mimuloi. These two are opposite one another. The oisei hamigdal ha'yibana biyosher rav. This tower that was known in ancient times stood biyosher rav, perfectly straight. What is this referring to? It refers to the rulers, the shayftim. V'hanim shulhu al hashayfer hashayir b'yamim hohem shehu toyar pnei hador. He is the toyar, the parents of the generation. He gives presents to the generation. Kichoytim hazeh, like a no shehu toyar partsuf, which is what gives the person form. The person's appearance is unique from the nose. V'hu yihiyem yushar mibli akmimus kemigdil hazeh. This leader of Klal Yisrael will be a straight shooter. He will not have a crooked bone. His conduct, his derech in leading Klal Yisrael will be 100% straight, and that's what we're comparing. We're comparing him to the apech in this pasuk. Now let's see Rashi. We're really in the middle of Rashi's on Friday, so now we're going to go through the Rashi's in more detail. Let's see pasuk hey. Pasuk hey begins with tzavarech your neck ahechel v'hamitzbech shehem zekufim begvayim v'lushkas agozes gam yisham asuya lechayzek ulemagen kenigdal hashen. So referring to the various parts of the Beis Hamikdash, specifically the hechel, which was 100 amos tall, the mizbeach was 10 amos tall. The Lishkas HaGozis may not have been tall in height, but was great in stature and symbolism. It stood, it was the fortress of Klal Yisrael. From there, Chochmah went out to the entire world, and they're going to be, he says two things, L'chayzek u'lumogain. It's going to be strength, and it's going to be a source of protection for Kimigdal Hashem, like this Migdal Hashem. Three different areas in the Beis HaMikdash, the Heichol, the Mizbeach, and the Lishkas HaGozis. Einayich, your eyes. So Rashi provides us with two interpretations of what it means, your eyes. Kebrechos. Rashi gives two interpretations of the word berechos. Berechos either means pools of water, or a berecha is a brood of yoinim, of doves. And this already has been used past in Sishir Hashirim, that a yoina is the most one of the most beautiful creatures. It represents loyalty to its zug, to its mate. It represents edelkeit. It's always looking back where it came from. It does not fly more than 50 amos away from its home. And all of these things represent Klal Yisrael. They're loyal to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, to our zug. We do not distance ourselves from our source. And we are continuously longing to have a close relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So Kibreichos, that's the second interpretation. Let's see the words in Rashi inside. The pools of water in the city of Cheshbon, which flow with water. So to Einayich al Shar Bas Rabim. So to Einayich, your eyes. What is the eyes? Al Shar Bas Rabim, on the gate of the Bas Rabim. Now notice, just want to point out that notice the very fundamental difference between Rashi and the Mitzudos David. According to the Mitzudos David, Al Shar Bas Rabim is part of the Moshul. They are brechos, and where are the brechos? The brechos can be found in Cheshbon. We're in Cheshbon. Give me a street address. A street address, GPS coordinates to go there. Shar Bas Rabim. According to Rashi, that's not what it says. He put a comma. The mashal is brechos b'cheshbon, period. And then the nimshal is being expressed explicitly in the pasuk. Al Shar Bas Rabim. When you Klal Yisrael, you sit in judgment. Al Shar Bas Rabim, Chachomecho, your wise men, Kishahim Yeshim Bishari Yerushalayim, Huir Bas Rabasa. The reason why it's called Bas Rabim is a pasuk taken from a pasuk in Echa. Huir Rabosiyam, a city that has many people. The Oiskin Bechashboin, and your Oisik in the calculation of the Hatufois Umazalois, and Oisik in the calculations of all of astrology, so which is Chachmosam. Astronomy. Sorry, I always mix up those two words. Astronomy. Shehi chachma samu binasam le'enei ho'amim, which is the chachma, the astronomy calculations, astronomical calculations, is considered to be the chachma samu binasam le'enei ho'amim of all the world. Moishchais kibrechais mayim, you draw wisdom from the, you draw wisdom like streams of water. Period. And then he gives a second interpretation, which we said before. Brechais is just to be replaced with the word yoinim. Brechais b'cheshbain, it means kemo yoinim. In this city called Cheshbain, you will find the best yoinim. The most expensive and beautiful yoinim can be found there. But Lashon Mishnahu, this word brechais is a brood. A brood of yoinim is found in the Mishnayis. Ha'alokech yoinim shevach mafriach brecha rishon. The person who purchases the yoinim shevach, you're not allowed to clean out the coop from every last bird, because the coop needs to replenish, it needs to repopulate, reproduce, and therefore you are mechuyev, the buyer has an obligation to leave over one brood of birds and not clean out the entire coop. So we see over here the word brecha is a word for birds, and the pasuk over here is telling us that Klal Yisrael are beautiful like the yoinim that are found in the city of Cheshbon al Shar Bas Rabim, which he doesn't explain that. I guess he means the same thing, that when Klal Yisrael, when they sit by the Shar Bas Rabim, they're beautiful like the brechois that are found in Cheshbon. Next, apech, your face is kemigdal halavona. Now remember, the Mesudas says that apech, according to the Mesudas, means your nose. Here Rashi comes to disagree. Okay, so therefore he immediately rejects the Mitzudos Tavit, the Mitzudos that will come 700 years after Rashi, approximately. He's saying, I know there's going to be a commentator of the Mitzudos Tavit, and I'm coming to reject his interpretation. It cannot possibly mean... cannot possibly mean, we always do that. We always make believe that the Mitzvahs came first, because it just makes it a lot easier to read the Mepharshim. Ein yachol lefarsha lashon chaytem loy l'inyan pshat v'loy l'inyan dogma. Kima kilos noy yesh b'chaytem gadol v'zokov kimigdal. Okay? What beauty is there in describing a Jew with a big nose? Okay, fine, but he's saying very powerful words.
Yeah. Right. Describing the nostrils, I mean, yeah, big deal, you know.
That's what he says. Makilos, what praise. Makilos noi yesh bechaitim gadol, a large nose, the zokuf, long, kimigdal, like a tower. Pinocchio. Pinocchio is not a beautiful person. V'oimirani, therefore, because I reject this interpretation, I have no choice but to say that apech means the forehead. Apech loshen panim, it's the panim, v'zeh shehu oimer loshen yachin. The reason why it says over here apech and not apayech with a yud, v'zeh shehu oimer ap loshen yachin, v'enoi oimer apayech sha'al ha'oi, sha'al ha'netzach hu medaber. There's only one. What?
It proves it.
Rashi's been... because we refer... Shu ikar hakaras apanim, because it's referring to the... there's only one forehead. Shu midab, shu ikar hakaras apanim, that is the most noticeable part, the unique feature, the single most unique feature about a person is his forehead.
But the nose is
right.
The identifier, and which we know...
Yes.
From...
The Gemara. The Gemara says that you...
story in Tanakh... where the enemy cut off the noses of people so they couldn't be of the slain in battle. So
they could not be identified. They cannot be identified to cause more agmas nefesh for the survivors. They, that's correct. So,
but then we say b'zeas apecha.
Yes.
Ulechem. We say we call it the sweat of one's brow. Right.
Oh, very good, very good. That's right. Niftar, Zayis Apecha. So that's a riot to Rashi. That Apecha means the forehead. The brow is the forehead. Very, very good. Okay. So here he's telling us, one more time. The reason why it says that apecha, not apayich, shal hametzach humidar, there's only one forehead on the person. Shuhu ikur hakoras apodim ki yishnemar, hakoras pneim onsabam, the recognition of your face. The ponim is equivalent to the apecha. It's the same shoresh. The pay, just the pay. That's all a similar letter. There's no okay. Hakaras pneim onsabam. The Teda, I'll prove this to be correct. We mentioned this last week. The proof that I am right and Tzudos is wrong is we're going in sequence. We're starting from the feet, the legs, the navel, the bosom, and then we come to the neck, and we come to the eyes, and then we come, then after the eyes, we come to the apecha. If the apecha is the nose, it's going to be the only thing that's out of sequence. If you go to the eyes, then you go down to the nose, you're out of sequence. Unless someone mentioned yesterday, last week, is that no, that the nose really begins above the eyes. The nose is drawn out from the person, already a mashu above the eyes, so that would seemingly be the way the Mitzudos comes to answer the question, but Pashtus is the nose, the primary feature of the nose is below the eyes. When your eyes are like brechos, as springs in cheshbon, v'achareim hametzach v'chein u'umos mekalsos. And now over here we're coming to explain. Over here Rashi is following through. Who is the one giving all of these praises? We mentioned this many times. It is the umos ha'olam bestowing praise upon Klal Yisrael. Mitzchecha chazak l'umas mehetzach kol habohim lehar oischa ulepatoischa. Your forehead, you are stubborn against all of those foreign influences that attempt to entice you and bring evil upon you. Klal Yisrael's greatest smile is their stubbornness. Ki am kishay oiref ota. That's a chesaroin. And it's also a very big milah. And that's here what the Rashi learns pshat in this pasuk is that's exactly what the Kodesh Baruch Hu is telling us, that your apech, your stubbornness is mighty and strong like an ivory tower. And then that's why you survived. The reason why you survived is your stubbornness. You refused to be enticed and be led away by the enticements of the Umay Sa'ilah. Okay, now we come. That's they're right. Then Moshe Rabbeinu was telling us just says is that you don't want to. You're stubborn and not doing tshuva. And backsliding. Kemigdal halavanon tzeipe pinei damasek. You are like this migdal halavanon, the end of the pasuk, the migdal halavanon, which looks out towards damasek. So what does this mean? Reisi b'medrash zebes yar halavanon. We are learning Mitzudos according to Rashi, referring to Shlomo Hamelech. He built the beis yar halavanon, his winter, his summer retreat, or whatever it was, a winter retreat. This was his vacation home. The yar Halavonon, and it's very mystical. What exactly was the purpose? Why does the Torah, why does the Sefer Melachim describe all the dimensions? And the truth is, it's not really so clear. It's there. There's a very big machlokes. What exactly did the Beis Yar Halavonon look like? There have been some models in recent years that have been made. I have two from. I have the art scroll, the new art scroll, Rubin edition. I think it is the blue Melachim. They have a very, very elaborate depiction of their interpretation of the Beis Yar Levonon. But then there's another Sefer, another very popular Sefer also that has illustrations, and they have a very, very different depiction of the Yar HaLevonon. It's very mystical, but according to this interpretation of Rashi, that's exactly what we are referring to over here. I think I remember by Reisman, when he gave a shir on Malach, when he gave a shir, he gave out handouts. He discussed this at great length, the significance. I don't remember what he said, the significance of the Yar HaLevonon and what it looked like. But the Medrash refers to the base very halvan. Hashasa Shlomo Shlomo Meitz. I made a person that stands upon this building. Tzoyfe umoyne kama batim yesh b'damosek. You can count the number of homes there are in Damosek. Period. Dover acher. What is the significance of ponecha? Your ponim is tzoyfe is pnei Damosek. It means It means mitzapos. It's yearning for Yemos HaMashiach. Rashi here tells something very fascinating. Mitzapos lovo sha'arei Yerushalayim adamosek. Shasidu leharchiv adamosek. Because when Mashiach will come, Yerushalayim will be expanded all the way until Damosek. Until the gates of Damosek, all of that will be incorporated into Eretz, into Yerushalayim. So here, when it's over here, apich, your ponim is kemidl halavonon. Tzofer, he means to yearn. Klal Yisrael is yearning for those days, those glorious days when Mashiach will come, when Yerushalayim will expand all the way until the ponim of Damosek, the gate of Damosek. Okay, now let's see the Targum. Targum and Pasik. Targum on Pasik. Hey. Okay, so who is the Tzavarech? The Tzavarech, he says over here in Pasik and the Targum, the Av Bezdino Didoin Dinech, referring to the Av Bezdin, who is in charge of judgment. Chasin al Amo lechaposo yoson is powerful. They have the ability to force the Jewish people, lulumin God, and to beat, to give malchus. Man de ischayav bedino, a person that's guilty, lenigdo, to punish him. Kishloma malcha, the Av Bezdin is mighty and powerful. Targum is learning, we're going at a later point in time in history. We're going now during the time of the Bayis Sheni. And during the time of the Bayis Sheni, there was an Av Bezdin. There was the Reish Gelusa and the Av Bezdin. Even in Bava, we're talking about what took place, even let's go even further, after the Churban of the Bayis Sheni, there was the Av Bezdin and the Reish Gelusa, and the Av Bezdin had authority, they had authority in Bava to punish people for not doing the mitzvos, and he had the same power, Kishloima Malka, like Shloima HaMelech, the Avad, Migdala, the Shein, the Peel, who made an ivory tower. Uchevash Yos Ama Beis Yisrael, and who forced the Jewish people to observe the mitzvos, Va'ahadar Yosol Memori Alma, and he brought them to do tshuva to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Period. Now this is very fascinating. Before we go further, he makes a point here that if you read Tanakh, you would not get that impression that Klal Yisrael needed someone to beat them up during the time of Shlomo HaMelech. During the time of Shlomo HaMelech, that was the glory, that was the golden age of Jewish life. Ish tachas gafnoi, tachas tenasai, Klal Yisrael ruled the entire world. You get the impression that every single person in Klal Yisrael was a tzaddik yisoid olam. And no one needed to be beaten, no one needed to be forced to do the mitzvos, no one needed to be told to do tshuva for their sins. Yet you see the Targum says that's not the case. That during the time of Shlomo HaMelech, he had this fortress, the Migdal HaShein, and that fortress represented his power, from where he sent forth people, officers, to force the Jewish people to do tshuva and to be observant and mekayim the mitzvos. Amazing that even during that period of time, there were people that were not following the program and needed to be put in line.
But usually that's the pattern.
Complacency. By Yishman Yeshun Vayiva, but you see this is he actually reads this explicitly into the pasuk. Next. Now in addition to the Av Bezdin, there's also the Sofraich, your scribes. And that of course means the Talmidei Chachamim, Molyin Chokmaso Kif Raktinon Demaya, are filled with wisdom like pools, springs of water. V'yadin l'mimnei chushbonei. What is the cheshbon? The cheshbon is they know how to make the most complex astronomical calculations. Chushbonei iburin u'ma'abrin shenin. They make these calculations. They are ma'abad shonav v'kavin reish yarchin, and they establish reish chodesh reish shenin. When should be reish chodesh? When should be rosh hashanah? Bisra base Sanhedrin rabbah in the gate of the Sanhedrin, of the great Sanhedrin. Period. Now who else do we have besides Tanicham? We have over here Rav base bo. And the great one of the base bo, the base Yehuda, the Reish Gelusa. Okay, I think over here is referring to the Reish Gelusa, the person who is going to be the greatest person, that is to the family of Yehuda, the people, the Reish Gelusa, who are always descendants of Beis David. Rabbeinu HaKal, all of the descendants of the Reish Gelusa, all descendants of David HaMelech, the Beis Yehuda, those people, the Rav Beis Ba, the Beis Yehuda, the great one among you that comes from the family of Yehuda, Domei LeDavid Malka. is compared to David HaMelech, Divna Mitzdasa Ditzion, who built the fortress of Tzion, the Mitzkiri Migdala de Livnon, which is called the Migdal HaLevanon. So the Migdal Tzion, the Mitzudos Tzion, is what's called, according to the Targum, the Migdal HaLevanon, not the Beis HaMikdash, and not the like the Rashi says is the what was it called, the Beis Yar Halavanon of Shlomo HaMelech, but it's a mitzud, it's a fortress. The kol man dikum alohi, anyone that stands upon this fortress, yochil l'mimnei kol migdalin did b'damasek, anyone that stands upon this fortress can see all of the homes, all of the buildings in Damasek. I've heard that a lot of the modern research has leaning towards the fact that the mask, the Al-Aqsa mask, that what it's called, the Al-Aqsa mask was a fortress, was a migdal. And it's not the place of the Eben Hashasiyah. There's a lot of research today. They believe that the Eben Shasiyah and the place of the Har of the Kodesh HaKadoshim and the actual Mikdash is much more to the coastal plaza to the right. It's much, much more moved over to the right, and the Alaska Mask is not necessarily the location of the Kodesh HaKadoshim or the Mizbeach.
The Alaska Mask is the small one. This is the mask of the Golden Dome.
The Golden Dome.
Yeah, so Alaska is called
the Dome of the Rock.
The Dome of the Rock. The Dome of the Rock. When you go on the tunnel tours, they brainwash you that the Dome of the Rock, we did discuss this many times, is the Kodesh HaKadoshim. This is the place where is the Kodesh HaKadoshim or it's the Mizbeach. That's one of three opinions. There's a lot of research today. They have a lot of technology with radar and they fly over. Is that the Kodesh HaKadoshim is much, much more to the right. There's a tradition that nothing will be built upon it. What then is the Dome of the Rock? It's a fortress.
It was a
major tower. And that from the times of the Crusades, even before the times of the Crusades, going back during the time of the Bayesheni, there was always under threat of conquest from the Umos Olam, and they built on the Temple Mount, they built this massive fortress that went very, very high. And today what's there today is just a teeny mash of what used to be there from time of the Bayesheni. This is a theory, this is conjecture, it's not absolute. But we find all over this thing that there is this Mitsudos Tzion. What exactly is this fortress that we're referring to? Can it possibly be that this Mitsudos Tzion is what the Dome of the Rock, what some of the more modern research is telling us it is? I don't know. I just want to make that point. Okay, so to review the pasuk out, so we have over here, to review what we learned over here, it's Tzavrech Midl Dashen. Tzavrech means your strength. The strength over here refers to the Av Bezdin. The Av Bezdin has under his authority Shoiftim, people that can force people to observe the Torah mitzvahs. So we're calling it the Tzavarech. They're mighty like a Midl Hashem that's very strong. Hashem over here, according to the Mitzudas, appears to be strength. The Av Bezdin has the power to enforce the law. Einayich are your Talmidei Chachamim. They are Berechais. They're flowing with water. Hoy kol tzami l'chulamayim. Becheshbon. When they make the most complex astronomical calculations for Rosh Chodesh, for Rosh Hashanah, for an Iber Shana. Al Shar Bashravim, when they sit in the Sanhedrin. Apeich is the Reish Gelusa. Apeich are the equivalent of the Melech. The Melech during the time of the Bayis Sheni, there was no real Malchus, then they were just descendants. The Malchus was really Batul. Zerubbabel had a din of a Melech, but not necessarily didn't have the full status of a Melech with all of the laws because there was no Shemin HaMishcha. But basically, all of your descendants, they are called the Apech, they are Kemigdal Halavon, and they have the Koyach of David, who built the Mitsudos Tzion. Soife Pnei Damosek, when you stood upon the Mitsudos Tzion that was built by David, you can see as far as Damascus. You can see all of the homes built in that location. Okay, Pasek Vav. Next praise. Roy Sheikh, your head is Alayich Ka Karmel. Your head upon you is like the mountain of Carmel. Carmel is the highest mountain. Carmel was a candidate for Matan Torah. And the reason why Hashem rejected, the reason why it was a candidate was because it was the highest mountain. If you're going to give the Torah, you're going to do it in the most Ifan Mechudar and be giving the Torah to Klal Yisrael, the highest mountain in the region. Hashem said, no, I don't want Carmel because I want to teach humility, so we're going to give it on Har Sinai. But still, Carmel is always praised as being the highest mountain. Carmel was very what? Both. It was Tabor. There were two different mountains. One was Carmel and one was Tavor. Two different mountains. Two of them were high mountains, but Carmel was even higher. What was the reward? What was the reward? Carmel was very disappointed. I think Chazal said that miraculously, Carmel was not in was far away, was in another location and uprooted itself to come to the Midbar in order to offer itself as the location for Matan Torah. Hashem said, "It's a nice gesture, but I can't accept you because I have to teach the world humility. It should be like a low mountain, Har Sinai, but I'll reward you. I'll reward you for your good gesture. The day will come with Eliyahu Hanavi, Har HaKarmel, and the whole world will sing out, Hashem Hu Elokim, Hashem Hu Elokim, which was a gilui, a revelation of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, equivalent to some degree, like Har Matan Torah. By Matan Torah, everyone saw Hashem Hu Elokim, Hashem Hu Elokim. Hashem spoke to Klal Yisrael directly. That's exactly what happened in Har Carmel and the time of Eliyahu Hanavi. So therefore it says over here that your head is tall. You're a giant. You're 7 feet. You're a giant. Your head towers above everyone else like Carmel, like Har Carmel. Vidalasro Sheikh, the tresses of your hair, of your head, the beautiful hair that comes out on the sides, Kargamon, is beautiful like purple. And we'll see in the Mitzvot that purple is a color which you can see from a great distance. Okay, we think, well, I don't know what...
It's also royalty.
Royalty, it's also very good. It's royalty.
It's also whether it's actually purple or, they say, crimson, which is more red.
Scarlet.
Okay, so whatever argamon is, so this is the tress of your head are beautiful like argamon, melech osur baruhatim. That's a real tough three words to translate. Who does it refer to? It simply refers to Hashem. Hashem is saying about himself. If you learn that Hashem is the speaker, or if you learn that the Umayyad Sa'ilam are the speakers, so they're saying that Hashem, who is the Melech, he is bound, he is tied, Baruhatim in bands. Baruhatim simply means chains. Or ropes that Hashem, due to your devotion to Hashem, Hashem has chosen to tie himself up to you. Now let's see the Mitzudos. There's a lot going on here. Pasuk Vav. Roy Sheikh Alecha Kakarmel. Roy Sheikh Asholecha, your head that is upon you, Yamod Muskov Viya Sagalgal Kahar HaKarmel. Two different qualities. Number one, it's very tall. Very tall. Number two, it's perfectly round. Perfectly round like Har Carmel. Not every mountain is perfectly round. Some mountains are more round than others, so this is another mile of Carmel. Va'anim shloimar asher, ha'shchina hi ha'roish asher lecha, yireh ka'har Carmel, the shchina that rests upon your head, the shchina that is resting upon your head is equivalent to the beauty of Har Carmel. Next, v'dalasro sheikh, and the tresses of your hair, of your head, kivutzos hasar, the tresses of hair, hamudle al roisheich, that dangle from your head, hema yihyu yafim kipsilei argamon, like cords of argamon. Vanim shulhu al hanavim, who is refers to the prophets, hanishvoim mehamakon baruchu shu shefan havua. Since we translate according to the Mitzvah that the roisheich is the shechina, so if the shechina is resting upon your head, the shechina is the source of prophecy. So the tresses that come and dangle from your head are going to be the prophets. Hey, what?
See, they're saying this is the
Bayis. Yeah? That's what they say? Taka, that's what they say?
Hangs down.
Dalas Roshaykh Kargamon, that's the Dalas Roshaykh? Okay, could be. The Bayis, the corners of the head. The Dalas Roshaykh. We have to ask Rav Meir. Rav Meir has his payas. He has the long payas all wound up behind his ears. He doesn't want to show it to us. He's very humble. Baruch Hu Shashefa Nevuah Heim Yashmiu Mashi Yilachroina. Now over here it says that the Shef Nevuah tells what's going to happen in the future. Okay. That's why it dangles down. It dangles down, it means it comes to the future. It's the Rosh, and the Rosh is dangling all the way down. There are an extension from the Rosh all the way down, symbolic of what's going to come at the end. Kain Yakum, Kain Yakum, Ketseva Argaman, and so it stands in the Tseva, the color of Argaman, which we translate normally as purple. Hanira Limrochoik. Okay, so this is his symbolism. The Mitzvah Stav is saying that the symbolism of Argaman is something which you can see at the great distance. Today, is that, I don't think that's really accepted today. Today, what are you, red? What color do you use if you want to see something in the very far away? Red. A stop sign is red, right? A fire engine is red. Today, they don't use purple. The city uses purple for anything. You don't see it being used. You see red. Okay, but over here, this was the color that was used. If you wanted something from the distance, it's red. It's Argaman. Therefore, it's symbolic of what's going to come in the far distance. The prophecy will be reveals events in the distance. The lois asurki mikoyshei rath, and the prophecy will not be undone unless there is mikoyshei rav. Only in extreme circumstances is prophecy changed. Is the events that are predicted to the prophets, is it changed? Melech osur baruhotim. This is very little difficult. Okay, let's first see what it says over here in the Mitzudos Tzion. Osur means Keshira, baruhotim, habinyonim, shal holiyos, mechedi lecheder. So it says over here, he translates it, rohitenu birosim, means chambers. The Mitzudos David is translating the word rohitenu, a king that is bound to the chambers. To the chambers. Now, what does that mean exactly? So the Mitzudos David says, Kol kach tia nechmad la'ayin, shaf ha-melech yechevso lios kosher bibinyan shebe'aliyas habayis, mecheder lecheder hanaseh lehisalech bo. Even the king will choose to go for a stroll on top of this mountain, in the buildings that are on the top, shebalias habayis, mechedel from room to room, hanasel halichba, which are made to go for a stroll, bechoshvo, because the king will think to himself, kisham yaspia enoi mimaris panecha, there he will satisfy his eyes from looking at your beauty, when he watches you, when he sees you travel from room to room. So the king, he has tied himself, he has committed himself to ascend to these upper chambers to go for a stroll and to view your beauty. That's what he translates it. V'anim shulhu loymar, asher hamakom baruch hu ye'oz kiluhu osu b'binyani beis hamikdash, Hashem will bind himself to the beis hamikdash, ki od lo sasur misham shechinaso, he will no longer remove his divine presence from the beis hamikdash, will be continuously. Now this is a very popular theme, which really goes back to last week's parsha, Parshas Shmini. Vayhi bayom hashmini karam Hashem li'Aaron ulevanav. There was no greater day of simcha for HaKadosh Baruch Hu than the building of the Mishkan. What's the great simcha? Why is this the greatest day that happened in the world for HaKadosh Baruch Hu in history? It received 10 crowns. Hashem revealed himself to this on this world many times. Hashem revealed himself to the Avos, to Avraham and Yitzchak and Yaakov. Hashem revealed himself by Kriyas Yamsuf and Mitzrayim. Hashem gave us the Torah. So what's the big deal? All of a sudden when they build the Mishkan and the Shekhinah comes down and they offer korbanos by Yar Kolom, by Yaronu, and everyone is screaming and there's a very great simcha, there were events that happened before this moment in time where Hashem revealed himself on this world. And the answer the commentators give is, the difference is all of those events that happened in the past were all temporary. They were all one-time events. It was for the moment. For the moment, Hashem appeared in Har Sinai for a few minutes. Hashem came down to give the Torah. I'm not here to stay. I'm just here to visit. I have a gift. I'm going to give you the Torah. Hashem appeared to Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. Hashem appeared maybe by the Mabul. Hashem appeared to Noach. You can go through history. But here was the time when HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, I'm here to stay. I'm here to stay. I'm not going anywhere. That theme is captured here. Osur Baruhotib. It's not just that Hashem will occasionally appear for a visit. I'm now committed. I'm not going anywhere. This is now my permanent residence. The Rohatim are the chambers. We know that the Beis HaMikdash has many chambers. Besides that, there's the Kodesh and the Kodesh HaKodashim. There are the Taz. How many Taz are there? I forgot. I used to know this. How many Taz? There are a lot of different chambers that surround the the Kodesh and the Kodesh HaKodashim. There are three different levels. There are many, I think maybe there were 33 chambers, or something like that. I don't remember exactly. There are a lot of different chambers that also possibly is alluded to here in the word Baruch Hatim, according to the Perush of the Metzudos David, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has committed himself to be bound, permanently associated with this chamber, with the Beis HaMikdash, which consists of multiple chambers. Okay, let's see Rashi. Pasik Vav. Roishach Allah Alayach Karmel, Elu Tfilin Sheberoish. Your head upon you is like Karmel. There's a very beautiful drasha medrash. Shneim Abraham Virohu Kol Am Eretz Ki Shem Hashem Nikol Lechav Yer Mimeka Harehu Choiskan Umoiron. The tfilin that we wear is our strength, and it is the source of fear. Kisela Harim, like the rock of a mountain. And which mountain is the king of all mountains? Carmel. Carmel is the king of all mountains. The Carmel who rosh heharim. So every time you put on tefillin, you think mekayim what it says here in the pasuk, reshech alayich ka Carmel. What is upon your head is beautiful, like the is hard and strong and mighty, like Har Carmel. The tefillin is our strength. It is Hashem is our rock. Hashem Tzuri V'Goyali. Hashem, you are my rock, and you are my redeemer. The rock is the tefillin, because V'Rohu Kol Amei Aretz Ki Shem Hashem Nikro Lecha V'Yaru Mimeka. And Carmel is the code for the ultimate tzela. Then when it says V'Dolas Reishech Kiliyas Saros Nizirayich, this refers to the beautiful tress of hair of the Nizirim, Noha b'mitzvosa, they're beautiful in the mitzvos, Kiklias Argama, they're beautiful in the mitzvos, like Kiklias Argama, like tresses of argamon of purple. It's interesting over here that, you know, you have the Mishnah Berurah says that if you put on tefillin, the condition to bring the tefillin, you have to have short hair. If you have long hair, it's shachatz v'gaiva. To have long hair. Not everyone agrees to that. I know someone even once, I think if I'm not mistaken, asked Rav Chudner in his youth, not even his youth, but in his prime, had very long hair. I never saw, but that's what they say. He had very, very long hair. Big chop. Oh, you know Rav Chudner. So if I'm not mistaken, someone once asked Rav Chudner, how you like to have long hair? What about your tefillin? What about what it says in the Mishnah Berurah? That to put on tefillin, if you put on tefillin, you have a chop and you have long hair. It's shechet svegaiv. Can you imagine? So he. I think, yes, I remember the stories. He says, not everyone paskins like that Mishnah Berurah. There are other opinions. It's not the only opinion. So really, it's very interesting over here. It's very fascinating. Over here, we're talking about long hair. A nazir is wearing tefillin. The yofi of tefillin upon a head of long hair. Isn't that what it says here in this pasuk? It says, Roshech alayich ka karmel, what is upon your head is like karmel, vidalas roshech ka argaman, and the beautiful tresses of hair that come out of your head are beautiful like purple tresses, purple cords. So you see the hair is very long in this, and this alludes to the nazir. The nazir has very long hair. Okay. All the Mepharshim say something that's very obvious. If now that Rashi told us that Roshech is your tefillin, so the Dalas is the Dalid. Dalas Delid. How do you spell Dalid? Dalid Lamed Tov. So the Dalas Roshech Kargamon, the Tfilah Shel Rosh is the Selah, is the rock, and the Ritzuos of the Tfilah Shel Rosh, which come together to form the Dalit, is beautiful to Hashem like our garment. Even though we know Halacha L'Moshe, we've seen that the Ritzuos must be perfectly black, but the Yoifi, before HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it's royalty to wear the beautiful Ritzuos that are transformed into a Dalit. And then when it says Melech Osur Boharotim, that refers to the Ritzuos of the Shel Yad. The Ritzuah Osur, when you take the Tefillah Shel Yad, you bind it. The Melech, which means what it says in the Tefillah is Kabolas O Malchus Shemayim, Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad, it's Osur. It is tied Baruhatim. That Rahatim, Rahatim has different interpretations. Is a sur. Well, you can say, you can say it's Baruhatim and Batim, as the different chambers. That's that, as the Metzudos Tzion said, Rahatim is rooms. The Tefillin has multiple compartments. The Tefillah Shel Rosh has four compartments, and the Shel Yad has one compartment. So the Melech, the Ribbono Shel Olam, is Asur, is tied to us, Baruch Hatim, in the various compartments. And this part of the Pasuk alludes to the Tefillah Shel Yad. The Tefillah Shel Yad is also tied to our body. So we have over here all three parts of the Tefillah, So let's go back to the Rashi. The Dalas Rashi, when Dalas Rashi Hashem Shakliya Mudelas Al Goyva HaRosh, the reason why it's called Rosh Sheikh on your head is because the Kaliya, this braid, the braid of here is dangles upon the upper portion of your head. Melech Asur Baruhatim, a king that is tied Baruhatim, Shmoy Shel Hamokim, Hashem's name, Vishkishem Hashem Mikolecha, Kashur Bitaltalim. Metaltalim on tresses. So Haratimi's transshemar nezer elokav al roshay. Haratimi explains what it means. It means kain karvin letaltale ha'oidros, the tyings of belts. Shekoyshem mohem hachaguros, which you tie a belt. The cord of the belt. So that's according to his interpretation, Haratim actually means the ritzuos. Haratim is. In Raj interpretation, I have here a translation, in fact, to give you a more precise translation.
That word in
Russian, fringes.
Carnets.
It's
a kind of crown, like coronet.
Right, that's the tefillin. But what exactly are the Baruhatim? Baruhatim are the, he translates here in the Judaica press, fringes. Mm-hmm. The fringes.
This is the word in Vayetze, he uses the word runnels.
Oh, we're going to come to that. Yeah, so he.
That's where he.
Wait, so how does he translate it?
Runnels.
What's runnels? What does that mean?
Yeah, I don't know. I never heard the word. But it says in the runnels, in the watering receptacles. Bishikaso samayim is the watering receptacles. Baruhatim bishikaso samayim.
The running. When they come to, when they run.
The water runs.
Okay, so this is a medrash. Rod means is to vayorats. The targum of vayorats is rahit. Okay, we'll come to that in a moment. But first, let's get the simple interpretation. According to Rashi, rahatim means, it means fringes. The fringes which are used to tie the garment or a belt to your body. So a melech, the Rashi is telling us, the name of Hashem, which is what is inside of the tefillin, the Shem Hashem. In each tefillah, there are 22 shemos. 20, is it 22 or 21? I think 22 shemos. A total of 44. Melech, Asur, they are, Hashem's name is tied Baruhatim through fringes, through cords. And that seemingly alludes to the ritzuos, which we use to keep the tefillin on our body and our head. Shekoshim ha-chaguros. Dover acher, melech osur baruhatim, HaKadosh Baruch Hu nikshar ba'ava, Hashem is tied to us with love, the mitzvois uveritzois sha'atem rotzim lifnav. This is where Rabbi Yosi pointed out, that baruhatim, Asher pitzel baruhatim, when the animals run to the well, to the trough, the water to get to be fed. The translation by Yoratz Avraham, by when the Malachim came to visit Avraham on the third day of the Leda, so the El Habakar Rotz Avraham. The targum on the word Rotz Avraham is Rihat. Riat, which is exactly the word over here, Baruhatim. And then Rashi is drawing from that interpretation, it's an Aramaic word, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu is bound to us in law because we are Mizurazim. We are diligent in our observance of the mitzvahs. Zrizim makdimim lemitzvahs. In reward for this midah of zrizos, HaKadosh Baruch Hu has committed himself to us on a permanent basis. So we have over here Sacha. Okay, now this...
It's like water running.
Water is running. So it's running, that's the same, that's the same thing. So far we have over here three translations for this very difficult word, Ruhatim. We have the Mitsudos David, that says it means chambers. And it's a code for the base Hanigdash, which is made from many chambers. It fits well with Rashi's approach, that of Tfilin, because the Tfilin are also made from multiple compartments. Then we have the second interpretation, it means cords. Cords that are found at the end of a garment, which are used to fasten the garment to oneself, one's body, and that means Hashem is Asur. He is Hashem, means the Melech, the name of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The Tzilin are tied to us through cords, referring to the Ritzuos. And the third interpretation is HaKadosh Baruch Hu has been committed to us in reward for us being diligent in the performance of his mitzvahs. Okay, now let's see the Targum. Targum is similar to Rashi. Pasuk, what is it? Pasuk Vav. Pasuk. Okay, Malka the Ismani Alach Resha, the Melech which you appoint upon you, Tzadika ke Eliyahu Neviya, the Kani kin Asol the Morei Shemaya, who took revenge, who was exacted vengeance for HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Uketal Yos Nidiyeh Shekra, he killed the false prophets, Betur Karmela. So the code word according to the Targum is Karmel means Mamish, the event. It's not just a nice tall mountain in the world. It's an event that took place in time. Har HaKarmel. Eliyahu HaNavi was Mekane Kines Hashem, he killed the Nevi HaSheker, and the kings of Klal Yisrael, the righteous kings, they've acted in like Eliyahu, they have cleansed Klal Yisrael from the Nevi'e Sheker. Next, the Esev Yos Amo Beis Yisrael Ledach Letoda Hashem. They inspired the Jewish people to do tshuva, to serve Hashem. Period. Now we come to the next part. We come to the next part that says the. It says the Dalas. What is Dalas? Dalas means the Dalas means the people who are the lowest status. We translated the last according to everyone as locks of hair. Locks of hair that come out of your head. That's not what the Targum. The last means dal. Dal means poor. They're poor on the fringe. They're spiritually poor and they're physically poor. They're materially poor. Vidalas amo, the Oslin bereshe, and the poor of the people which go in the head, Mika al di inun, are beaten. The poor of the people that went into exile first. Okay, the Oslin Bereisha, he translates here, they went into Golos. They were exiled. The Aseres Hashvatim were exiled. Mika al di inun, you know why this happened? Mika, they were smitten. You know why? Al di inun miskenin, because they were poor in observance of Torah mitzvos. But here the Targum says, do not worry, the time will come when the Aseres Hashvatim will be redeemed. That's a controversial statement. Asidin limilbash argivana, the day will come when they will one day wear purple garments. They wear malchus. Who do we find in Tanakh who wore purple garments? Only two people. Daniel and Mordechai. Heichma, just like the Levash Daniel, the character of the Bavel, Daniel wore in the city of Bavel, Mordechai b'Shushan, and Mordechai in Shushan Abira, begins Zuchusa, in whose merit? Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. And here he spells it out. Begins Zuchusa, the Avraham, the Amlech, min Kadmas, the Nolim Arialma, because he crowned Hashem as king over the world, he made it be known that Hashem is the Melech. Uvitzit Kesod, the Yitzchak, the Kaftei, Avuhi, Limikreve, and in the merit of Yitzchak, that allowed himself to be offered as a carpenter to Kodesh Baruch Hu. Uva Chasidusei de Yaakov, the Kalev. Here is Rabbi Mayevsky. What you said is taken exactly from this pasuk over here. Beroha de Shikasois. Asher Pitzel Berohotim Beshikasos Hamayim, exactly what the Targum is drawing from that pasuk. And in the Zuchus of Yaakov, who was a man of integrity. the integrity of Yaakov Avinu, which is expressed that he did not steal one penny from his father-in-law Lavan. Everything that he got was earned, was through HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He followed the directive of the Malach to do all of these techniques, to peel the sticks and have the animals look at the sticks when they came to drink, and they would mate with, when they would mate and they would produce offspring. He peeled al chut raya, he peeled his sticks at the streams of water, at these streams of water, in the merit of Avraham and Yitzhak and Yaakov. So let's go back to the entire pasuk. So the entire pasuk's entirety reads, Rosh Sheikh is your melech, alayich kak hamel. Rosh Sheikh refers to periods of time in Jewish history where we had kings that were tzaddikim. They behaved in the same fashion as Eliyahu behar HaKarmel, and they executed all of the Nevi'ei Sheker. Next, Vidalas Rosh Sheikh, the first of you who went into exile because of your poverty, your spiritual poverty. So Rosh Sheikh here means first to go into exile. Dalas means because of their sins of being spiritually poor. The day will come, Ki Argaman, they will be restored, and they will wear purple garments like Daniel and Mordechai. Melech Osur Barahatim, why will they be restored? Three words. Melech, Asur, Baruhatin. Melech is a code for Avraham. He was Mamlech Hashem over the entire world. Asur is a code word for Yitzchak. He allowed himself to be bound at the Akedah. Baruhatin is a code word for Yaakov, who peeled the sticks, Biriatoi Barohotin Bishikasois Hamoyim. So in the Zechus of Melech Osur Barohotin, this is a very wild shot, right? Isn't this Targum, something you would not expect with this Targum, to take three words and go and use it in the Zechus of Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. Each one is a code for each of those three. But that's what the Targum says, and that's how Elim Shah in the Pas, that the Aseres Hashvatim, those who went to Golus first, will one day be restored in the Zechus of Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. Alright, we're up to Pasuk Zion. We'll start tomorrow with Pasuk Zion.